Now let's stand together, if you would, please. I'm going to just read the first six verses here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Dad, I forgot. But let thine heart keep my commandments. I want to say right there, this is just free. You either keep the commandments of God or don't, based on the condition of your heart.
That's right, brother. Amen. That's right. Absolutely.
If I keep the commandments, it's because it's from my heart.
Yes.
If I don't, it's because I'm not, and my heart's not right.
Amen.
That's, it's plain as day right there.
Absolutely.
My heart keeps. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
True love is of the heart. Amen. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Amen.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. That means memorize, amen.
Yeah.
Thy word have I hid in my heart. Right, like the finger of God writing, etching in the heart of man his word. So shalt thou find favor, verse 4, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's that heart again. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, I'm not going to preach on the heart tonight, but boy, everything to do with true Christianity starts with the heart.
Yeah.
It starts with the heart. It continues with the heart. It's all about the heart. The book of God is written to a man in English, or in words, if you will, but it's written to the heart of man.
Yeah.
It's all about the heart. And I want to preach to you tonight from verse 5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray for your grace to settle in on this place and each heart to be attentive, Lord. No doubt, Lord God, again, we have many things that we're tempted to think about right now. Please bind the devil, cast out all distractions. We plead the power, the shed blood of Jesus Christ tonight. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Please be seated. Trust in the Lord. Last week, we discussed the fear of the Lord. Understanding what it is to fear the Lord. And we said that last week it is the beginning of all wisdom. Tonight I want to look at trusting the Lord and understanding more about that. Understanding that is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
The trusting in the Lord is the basis for all wisdom. Okay, the basis for all wisdom. In other words, why would I care about wisdom? I mean, what's my basis for wisdom? What's my foundation? What's the point? Okay? What's the point of having wisdom? Listen, because I trust the Lord.
Amen.
And if God says something in the Bible, and I trust the Lord with my heart,
yes,
then I understand that it's wise for me to have more wisdom. It's wise for me to do what God says because I trust that the Lord is there to help me and to do me good, to protect me.
Amen.
So, in other words, God says that wisdom, in chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. That means it's the most important. It's the first thing that I need. It's priority in my life. So if I trust God, right? I trust what God says, then when he says wisdom is the most important principal thing, then I'm going to get more wisdom. Now, I want you to understand something. Trusting the Lord with all my heart, verse 5, requires all my heart.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now that's pretty much without a whole lot of discussion there. I can just leave it at that. But really, think about that. It requires all my heart. I can't trust the Lord with all my heart if some of my heart is given to something else,
yeah, right,
or somebody else.
Yeah.
So it requires all my heart. Listen, it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Yes. It requires all of my heart. Listen, so I must reject my own understanding.
Yeah.
Amen.
If my whole heart is given to trust the Lord, then as soon as something else along my understanding begins to contradict the Word of God, then I have to reject my understanding and trust the Lord.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Or else, you're not trusting the Lord.
That's right.
You're just going with the flow. I have to reject all my own understanding. I can't lean on it. I can't trust it. You can't trust yours either. And we have to find out what God says with all our heart, then give God our heart, reject our own understanding, and listen. And then that trust in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct. That trust is going to reach into all my paths.
Yeah.
That's right.
Everything in my life is going to be touched by the hand of God.
Yes.
Because I'm following the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because I trust God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to trust in the Lord if I'm going to live a life of wisdom, a life above the flood. Because godly wisdom is contrary to worldly thinking.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah. Far removed from worldly thinking. As far as the east is from the west, as far as day is from night, as far as darkness is from light, as far as heaven is from hell, the world's wisdom, the world's thinking is contrary to the wisdom of God. So if I'm really going to find wisdom, if I'm really going to apply my heart unto wisdom, I'm going to have to trust that God knows what He's talking about.
That's right.
Amen. He said, "Preacher, this is all elementary stuff." Okay, hold on. My own heart's feelings and my own heart's thoughts are going to be completely contrary many times to what the Bible says. Therefore, I have to trust God, because listen to me. The wisdom that God gives me is not common sense. Many times, it's not common sense. It's Christ-like sense. And many times, it's not logical way. It's the Lord's way.
Amen.
Can I tell you, you talk about, well, that's common sense. But many times, it's just not so common sense. Especially the closer we get to the Lord's return. People do things that aren't common sense anymore.
Yeah.
There's a generation the Bible talks about, amen. And it's not common sense. Our chapter in chapter 3 here in Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord. And then, I believe it goes into why we have to trust the Lord. Because the wisdom that we're going to get in the rest of this chapter, and really in all of this book, the wisdom we're going to get from God in this chapter, though specifically tonight, is going to go against what the world says is wisdom. Okay? So God lays it out on the carpet first. He says, "Do you trust me?" And of course we say, "Yeah, God, I trust you. Of course I trust you." Okay, then, you better be ready then, because now I'm going to tell you why you have to trust me. Okay? It's good counsel, by the way, to start with the foundation. It's good wisdom to start with the foundation and then build on it. The foundation, the basis for all wisdom, is I have got to trust in the Lord. In other words, if he says it, I don't care what anybody else says.
That's right.
Amen,
brother.
If he says it, I don't even care what I think.
Yeah.
Amen.
If he says it, I don't even care how I feel.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yep. Come on.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on.
Now, do you trust the Lord? Say amen.
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 Do you really trust in the Lord with all your heart? Say amen.
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 Okay, I didn't look at you because I didn't want to make you guilty. Okay, then if we trust in the Lord, then the wisdom that God's going to give us here in these next few verses is going to be fine with us. It's going to be absolutely fine because we trust God. Number one, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Amen.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So the number one thing that God says that is wisdom that the world really doesn't necessarily agree with is, listen, that evil is unhealthy.
That's right.
Amen.
Evil is unhealthy.
Amen.
Now, if you really trust in the Lord, you understand that evil is not fun. Evil is not exciting. It hastens our physical death. This is a physical verse in verse 8. It's health and marrow to thy bones. What is God's wisdom?
Amen. That's right.
Evil, then, therefore, is unhealthy. Sin. Listen, you and me are all we're all dying. We know that, but sin destroys this body faster than anything else. Sin is the reason we're dying. But those who live in sin, those who practice sin on a regular basis, are hastening their physical death, and they're bringing pain and suffering along with it every step of the way.
That's right.
It brings pain that you don't have to have if you wouldn't live in evil, if you wouldn't dabble and play with sin. For example, alcohol.
Yep.
Well, alcohol brings all kinds of diseases. I'm going to die anyway, right? So I might as well, see, the world says, well, you're going to die anyway, so you might as well have fun while you're doing it. See, but God says evil is unhealthy. The evil of alcohol, the evil of cigarettes, the evil of drugs. And we all know, none of us are doing any of that stuff, I know. But listen, there's more to it than that. You still trust God?
Amen.
You know, there's the evil of lying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, how does lying hurt me physically? I thought you said you trusted God.
Right.
How is lying going to hurt me physically, preacher? I'm telling you, lying, because sin is unhealthy to the physical human body. Let me talk, we know about fornication. Huh? How about sodomy? Hey, how about slothfulness? How about laziness?
Yeah, that's good.
That's right. Yeah.
It's unhealthy.
That's right. You're right.
It's unhealthy to be lazy. Well, I'm resting, okay? You're resting 3 or 4 days in a row is no longer resting. That's lazy.
That's right.
Oh, come on, y'all. I still love you, but I'm trying to say there's slothfulness spoken of a lot of in the Bible. Laziness. The Bible tells us that strife, hatred. How about that? How about bitterness?
Amen.
How about you not forgiving that person who has hurt you? That will make you old and sick in a hurry.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We're to put all of that stuff away from us. Yeah. All malice, all clamor, all, hey, how about evil speaking?
That's right.
How about evil speaking? Well, so that's not that. It will make you, it will rot you. It will corrupt your body. It will make you older than you had to be. The Bible tells us in verse 2, length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. What? God's words, God's wisdom. Evil, however, hey, how about those curse words? Listen, I'm telling you, you will corrupt your body. Unforgiveness. How about uncontrolled anger? I mean, some people are dying today, literally dying from anger.
That's right, bro.
Anger, bitterness. I mean, they are the most unpleasant people to be around. How about strife and constant arguing and contentions? That, listen, that stuff makes you, oh, evil. It's evil, and it will affect your physical health. Can I tell you something? There are a whole lot of psychoanalysis and psychiatrists and psychologists making millions and millions of dollars because people do not believe what I'm telling you right now.
That's right.
Come on.
True. That's right, absolutely.
They blame it on anything.
Yeah.
And everything.
That's
right. So-and-so hurt me. So-and-so did this. So-and-so did that. This happened. That happened. Okay, I understand that. But is God greater? There's such a thing as real physical illness, but then there's such a thing as real spiritual problems too.
Yeah.
And those spiritual problems kill people, and they destroy their bodies and their physical health.
That's right.
I mean, there was a maniac. A man who was completely loco there, running around, cutting himself, living in the graveyard, screaming in the middle of the night. He had strength, but they couldn't chain him. He broke the chains. And you would think, this man needs to be locked up. This man needs to put on all kinds of Valium and every pill you can think of. Jesus was the answer for that man.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Most of the mental problems today aren't mental problems at all.
That's right, absolutely,
right.
Brother.
I love you.
No, it's absolutely true.
But most of them are not mental problems.
Yeah.
They're spiritual problems.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
People are dying. People are in locked up in padded rooms because of spiritual problems.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Evil is unhealthy. Terribly unhealthy. You still trust the Lord, amen? Number 2, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Number 2, every increase belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
You still trusting the Lord, right?
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
The money you bring home ain't yours.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I told you, you still trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Amen, preacher. The money that you bring home, listen, not just occasionally. Every increase. Notice verse 9. The first fruits of all thine increase. Every paycheck.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Whether it be yours, your wives, your dogs, or your cousin. Well, your cousin. But every paycheck that comes into your house is to be honored God first.
Amen.
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 Now, the world's going to call you a lunatic. The world's going to tell you crazy.
Yeah.
Well, see, preacher, I'll give God what I have left over. Now, God didn't say humor the Lord. He said honor the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Hey.
That's good.
Amen.
You still trusting the Lord with all your heart?
Amen.
It's getting quiet, I know. Money. Oh, money. Had to get there to preach the second point. It's already money. Those that complain and talk the tithe, that's law, preacher. That's the law. You know what? I'm telling you something. They have no idea what grace is. Let me read you a verse and help you understand. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, when the law came in, it was for one reason, really, to make sin be abundant, exceeding sinful. Okay?
Yeah.
So all the law did is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the law made sin really be sin.
Right.
Okay? Right. I had not known sin if it was not for the law. That's what Paul said. But then he said sin abounds. Yes, world, the law makes sin abound. But grace even more, much more abounds. What does that mean? That means what I gave under the law, grace is going to much more abound than that.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. Amen.
Let's do it.
What do you mean, preacher? You mean I got to give more than the tithe? Got to ain't the word. You get to.
Amen,
amen, brother. That's right. You get
to. You still trust the Lord, right?
Yes, amen.
You honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase. Grace giving abounds more than the tithe. It's only the beginning. That's what a baby Christian learns to do. Okay, 10%. Okay, 10%. Okay, 10%. And then he gets a hold of this thing. Well, God keeps blessing this 10%. Well, man, I what if I give more? Well, God's blessing me more. Oh, I'll give him more. Yeah, that's right. That's grace. You can't outgive a graceful God like that. You can't outgive a merciful God like that.
Praise God. That's right.
You still trust the Lord, right?
Amen.
Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You're going to have more than you can have, more than you can handle. That promise right there in verse 10 is not for everybody. It's only for those who honor the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
You can jump to verse 10 and say, yeah, God promised me. No, not until you honor him.
That's right.
A tithe is just the barely beginning. I mean, start there. Bless God, start there, amen. Start there. Yes, of course. It is a rule of thumb, if you will. No, it's a law, but it's also grace. Jesus talked about it. The New Testament, Paul talks about it to the church there in Corinth. But listen, but that's just the beginning. There's so much more that you can do. God says, give and it shall be given unto you. There's no end to God's banks in heaven.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
But if you don't give that first fruit of every increase, forget it. God says, well, I thought I said honor me.
Yeah.
Honor me means, God, this. That means, okay, here's my check. Okay, well, I got this bill and this bill and that bill. And that. No. Wait a minute. Who's first?
God.
Wait a minute, I got this bill and this bill. Okay, God, I got this left over. Is this enough? That's not honoring God.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
You still trust the Lord?
Amen, brother.
You're awfully quiet tonight. I told you God put that there first on purpose. Because then he's going to go into some things like that people don't necessarily like. And the world makes fun of. And most Christians don't even participate in. Like giving to God. Okay? And being healthy. Because, okay, y'all, I'm trying to be nice. Listen, God promises health. And now he's promising blessings. He's not cursing you. Calm down, y'all. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. He says, but that's why you have to trust him.
Amen.
I better move on. Money never gets far in a Baptist crowd. Verse 11. I mean, you can do without the blessings. That's fine. I mean, that's fine. That's up to you. But if you honor God like he says, he'll do what he says. He can't lie. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So, evil is unhealthy. Even every increase belongs to God. Number three, even chastening is good. Now, I didn't hear a whole lot of amens there. Even when God corrects me, even when God has to deal with me, maybe in a way that I'm not necessarily looking forward to, even when God has to, how should I say this, whoop up on me a little bit?
Yeah, amen.
That's good.
Yeah,
amen.
Now look, did your daddy ever take you, I hope your daddy spanked you, did your daddy ever tell you, son, this is for your own good? And you said, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Now I hope, as you're older and wiser, you understand it really was for your own good.
Amen.
And as you are a parent now, many of you, you understand that if I don't chasten that child is going to have a miserable life. That child is never going to understand anything to do with the Word of God or authority or biblical reproof or anything like that. That child is going to be a miserable, spoiled, rotten brat.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
And it doesn't take long to find one of those. Just walk out any street or any time of the day and you'll find about one of those anywhere.
Yeah.
Because nobody understands what I'm talking about right now. That chastening is good.
Right.
Amen.
It's necessary.
Yes.
And if it's necessary for me and for you, from our parents, well, it's so much the more necessary from our God in heaven who knows exactly what we need.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
God's chastening, if you'll appreciate it, if you'll understand it, if you will be wiser and you will grow in your wisdom through it. Look at verse 12. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, I talk to people all the time. And I'm telling you, God does love the world. He gave His only begotten Son.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. But they're not His children until they get saved. And then with those children, there's a special relationship now between father and child. And the Bible says, as a father correcteth you, it's because He delights in you.
Yes.
He delights in you. That means He's pleased with you. That means He loves you to the point of taking personal time to correct you and chasten you, even though it may hurt for a season. It may not be pleasant for now, but it will produce the peaceable fruits of righteousness in your life afterward. It will make you a better Christian. It will make you wiser. It will make you more understanding. It will make you more obedient. It will protect you. It will provide safety, and it will do so much for you. And God says, I delight in you. That's why I'm doing this. Now that is not the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is that God loves me, therefore I can do whatever I want to do, and I'll just act like I want to act. Because God will never condemn me. God is all grace and all love. But He says right here, as many as I love, I correct.
Yeah.
And because I delight in you. So that world, if they're not getting any of this, then they need to check up on their salvation, which is about 99% of them anyway. You and me that are born again, we have a God in heaven who says, even when I chasten you, even when I correct you, even when I even punish you, I'm doing it to help you and correct you to get you back on course, so that because I delight in you.
Amen.
Does your dad tell you that, Tori, when he has to whoop you? Sweetheart, this is good for you. He doesn't tell you that. 1 Corinthians 11:30. That's why you're kind of sitting there like this, huh? 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, listen, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Listen, that we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't that a blessing?
That's good. Yeah.
See, the world's condemned. But when I'm chastened, I'd rather be chastened than condemned any day.
Amen.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? And when I'm chastened, listen, I know that I belong to my Father, and my Father belongs to me, and He delights in me. Now I didn't feel that way when I was growing up. Not with my dad. I didn't feel like he loved me because he was. But this, I didn't understand. I didn't have the wisdom. But most new Christians don't.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why God puts this in the Bible. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all that getting, get understanding. I've got to hurry. But even chastening is good.
Amen.
Okay.
Right.
Next, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now, stop there. The next thing in this list of God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom, if I trust the Lord, I understand that enduring happiness comes from wisdom.
Yeah.
Enduring happiness means lasting happiness.
Yeah.
Lasting happiness, long-term happiness, continuing happiness. In other words, happiness comes and goes in this life, and you know that. But what God's talking about here is long-term happiness. Happiness that endures through my life and the next generation and the next generation even. Money, that the world says money buys happiness. Money brings happiness. If I just had a little more money, I'd be happy. No, God says the prosperity of fools shall destroy them.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
That's right.
God says that the richest make themselves wings and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
Right.
That's not enduring. That is not lasting. That's not long term. Look at verse 14. The merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, merchandise is what I obtain with my wisdom. Merchandise is what I buy, if you will. Okay, look what I have: understanding, I have knowledge, I have discretion, I have deliverance. Look at verse 16. Length of days. Riches and honor. Length of days in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. There it goes again. Length of days. A healthier life. A healthier body. Length of days and riches and honor will come, but not the other way around. You remember Solomon. God said, Solomon, ask what you will of me. Yeah. God gave Solomon a blank check.
Absolutely.
And Solomon didn't say, I want money, I want money, I want money. Solomon said, I need wisdom, Lord. I need wisdom to guide these millions of Jews. I can't do this. I'm nobody compared to my daddy. I need your wisdom. And God gave him that wisdom. And it, because he was so pleased with that request, he gave him riches and honor as well. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. I'm not going to be rich. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel. You understand here? But I'll have more than I would if I didn't follow wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
In the long run.
Yes, yes.
By the way, God's riches are not the world's riches. But what God wants you to understand here is that wisdom is more precious than rubies in verse 15. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. What would you like to have more than anything else in the world? And then understand that that has no, that doesn't hold a candle to wisdom. Now that doesn't compute, does it? Well, if you trust the Lord, it does.
Amen.
If you trust in the Lord, it does.
Yeah.
Verse 17 says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. What's pleasantness mean? It means that person's pleasant.
Yeah.
A cheerful, pleasant attitude. Wisdom doesn't make you grumpy, cantankerous. Remember, we talked about strife and contention and bitterness and anger. Wisdom, God's wisdom doesn't do that. That's how it comes. It gives you, again, we're reiterating a little bit here, but it gives you length of days. And it brings you good favor there in verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Not everybody's going to like you, but there'd be a lot more people that like you than don't if you're a wise person and understand how to deal with people. A pleasant person is much more valuable to God in the eyes of God than anything you can desire in this life. Because it makes it, listen, how about winning souls? Amen. How about winning souls? That's the happiest a Christian can ever be is when they win a person to Christ and they're able to see a person come to Jesus Christ, bow their head, and accept Christ as their Savior. Listen, that is eternal happiness.
Yes. That's right. Hallelujah.
That's eternal happiness. You don't get that. You can't buy that.
Amen, brother. That's right.
You can't buy that with any rubies, with any diamonds, with any gold, with any silver. You can't buy that. You have to have the wisdom of God to help you lead somebody to the Lord. And that's enduring happiness. Peace. Peace in your heart. Boy.
Amen.
Look in verse 18. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Wisdom. And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Laying hold upon her. Retaining her. Notice. That means to not let go.
That's
right. Look what it says. My son, verse 1. Forget not my law. Solomon started off very wise.
Yes.
But he did not retain it. He did not keep it. He did not lay hold upon it. He forgot it. Look in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Where's mercy and truth? There are people today who used to teach, used to have godly families, used to be a part of a Sunday school, used to be church like this, and they could quote verses like you and me, but listen, somewhere along the way, they let it forsake them. They let it get away. They let it get away. Look at verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep it. That means you've got to fight. Buy the truth and sell it not. Keep it. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Don't let anybody take it away. Telling you what, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and a strong man retain riches. The Bible, riches, wisdom. It takes strength to lay hold on to something and not let it go. It takes strength to retain it. It takes old-fashioned guts and wisdom and courage and faith. Because I'm telling you one thing, listen to me. If the Bible warns us over and over again not to let it go, then there's somebody on the other end trying to pull it away.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
It's not just going to fall out of our hand. That's not the case. Quickly, I'm hurrying here. I've got number one, evil is unhealthy. Number two, every increase belongs to God. Number three, even chastening is good. Enduring happiness, number four, comes from wisdom. Number five, the establishing of the world came through wisdom. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now look, what am I saying to you here? Is that the wisdom that you and I are talking about tonight, listen, don't miss this, is the same wisdom, the only wisdom that God ever had and ever will have, and it's the same wisdom that he used when he created the heaven and the earth.
Yep. Amen.
So what does that mean for me, preacher? Well, one thing, first of all, you can throw evolution out the window. We know that. But what I'm trying to say to you, listen, God himself uses this wisdom.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if that settles in or not. You can let that sink in for a minute. God himself, by this wisdom, founded the earth.
Man, that's right.
Yeah, that's good.
How does that? I don't understand that, preacher. Well, I don't understand it either, except that I know that God's not going to proclaim the value of something and the power of something without him using it and valuing it himself.
Right, amen.
Yeah.
That'd be like a salesman trying to sell you something that he doesn't own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Trying to give you something that he don't want. God's not like that. God's not trying to play games with you and me. This is the same wisdom. Now, I get a hold of this. This did my heart good when I thought about this and understood this. And God's power, God's wisdom. God, notice what it says there in verse 19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding hath he established. Verse 20, by his knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. What a trinity. And God, we're talking about God using those things himself. Does that not equate, or does that not compute with you that God himself is using this wisdom? Therefore, and he says, I can have it too. I mean, that's amazing to me. Amen. I can have it too. I can have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that God himself uses.
Amen.
I'm not going to be God, but he's going to give me that same exact wisdom. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me, speaking of wisdom, in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Proverbs 8:24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Wisdom is speaking here in first person. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his, notice, delight, rejoicing always before him. We're talking about God's creation there. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he made them through the same wisdom and understanding and knowledge that he's saying that you and me can have. We can get it from him.
Amen.
I mean, that doesn't really even make sense to me, but you have to understand it's the same Bible you hold in your lap, the same spoken word of God. Let there be light. It's right here.
Yes.
Amen.
It's right in your lap. So what amazing power that was to speak the universe into existence. You got it. That power is right in your lap.
Amen.
Yeah, preacher, it is.
You don't get it, do you? Do we really believe that every word of God is in this book?
Yes.
That every word that he wants us to have is right here.
That's right.
Do we really believe this is the very word of God?
Yes.
And that it is quick. Alive and powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword. Do we really believe that?
Yeah.
We really don't believe that. Because this is the power that this book has, if we really understood that God created the world with this power, this word of God, I think we would probably be digging deeper into it.
Amen.
When we had a problem.
Yes, absolutely. Amen.
When we were being overcome by temptation.
Amen.
When we were fighting sin.
Yep.
When we have questions that we don't know how to answer.
Amen.
If this book, this very book, created the heavens and the earth, and God says, you can get it. You can have this wisdom and understanding and knowledge. I'll give it to you. And He has right here. Do we, if we really believe that, I think we would dig deeper. I think we would stay longer. I think we would love it more.
Amen.
The world says, oh, that's just another book. No, it's not either. I was talking to a young lady, not so young, a lady today. I think it was after I met Alex and Laura. I was talking to this lady, one of their neighbors. They were very nice. They asked me to come in and sit down, and I said, I can't. I got to go to church. So you can come to church, though. And they did. Amen. So
amen.
Praise the Lord. But
amen.
But I went on down a couple doors and before I left, and I talked to another lady who... again, she called herself a rainbow girl.
Whatever that is.
Well, exactly. She called herself a rainbow girl. And she said that she doesn't... we got to talking, and she said, well, I don't follow just one book. You know, Buddha's got a book, too. And Muhammad's got a book, too. But see, what she doesn't understand is this is not a book. This is the living Word of God. See, the world thinks, well, this is just another book like the Quran or the whatever this or the whatever that, but or the NIV or the RSVP. This is not another book. This is the very living Word of God. And the power that is in your lap is the power that God created the world with. Wow, I mean, that's goosebumps, man.
Man.
That did me good when God showed me that there earlier. I thought, wow, that is amazing. That's the same wisdom that He wants me to have, Brother Washington.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to go create the world, a new world or anything, but I surely can overcome this world by faith, can I?
Amen.
In other words, this book is power, folks.
Yes.
Power. Power. These are unsearchable riches of power and wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God Himself was involved with when He created the very universe. Man, that's amazing. I still can't understand that. I'm trying to wrap my mind up. Pea brain around. I can't, but boy, that must mean that this is a pretty powerful book.
Amen.
Amen.
Finally, go back to Proverbs 3. Evil is unhealthy. You got to trust the Lord to understand that, to believe that. Every increase belongs to God. You've got to trust the Lord to believe that. Even chastening is good. Ow, it hurts. Ow, but it's good. Okay, Lord, I trust you. Enduring happiness comes only from wisdom, not money.
Right.
Okay, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I'm going to follow wisdom over money. Okay, Lord, because I trust you. You see the point here? And then the very world that you sit in and the air that you breathe, the very sun that's going to rise and the earth that you spin on every day. By the way, the earth is round, amen. It's not flat, amen. That's another story. Have y'all seen that man's house over there? Anyway, that's another story. But God created this world, this round planet, amen, the round sun and the round planets and the round moons and the round solar system, amen, and it through the very wisdom that I'm talking about.
Right.
And lastly, down in verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul. Well, that's salvation right there, okay? Life unto your soul is only through the grace and the mercy of God. And wisdom tells us that that's the only way, okay? The world says all kinds of other things, but that's another story. But look what it says here, and grace. to thy neck. I want to say this lastly. If I trust God, I have to trust that, listen, that He has extra grace provided for me for every mile of the journey.
Amen. Amen.
He's got more grace, folks. I'm going to need more tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm going to need more next week. He's got more grace. Look, verse 22. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. God has will give me grace to walk safely and surely.
Yes.
The grace. I need it. Look, verse 26 says the same thing. The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken.
Yeah.
He's going to keep you standing upright, walking uprightly. Listen, that's grace.
Right.
Grace that provides that to you and me. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about tonight, but wisdom helps me understand that God has all the grace that I need. I don't need to look anywhere else.
Amen.
That God's grace is sufficient for all of my trials, all of my heartaches, all of my burdens, all of my unanswered questions, all of my unspoken prayer requests. God's grace is going to be there, provided for me if I walk in wisdom and trust Him. He has the grace that I need.
Man, that's right.
Verse 24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. But God even gives us grace to sleep peacefully. You know, I don't have to worry about who's going to break into my house or knock over my walls or bulldoze my windows. Or it may happen, sure it may happen, but I've got grace to face it if it does.
Amen.
When I pillow my head at night, listen to me. I pray with my wife. I kiss her goodnight, and I rest in God's grace.
Amen.
Yeah. I rest in God's grace.
Amen.
I don't always rest like I want to, but not because God's not worth, not because God can't. But you know, the world doesn't have that.
Yeah.
The world thinks they need to take a pill.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see what I'm talking about? I've got to trust the Lord that His grace is sufficient for every step of the way.
Yeah.
His grace is sufficient for me. Through His wisdom, He gives me grace to sleep peacefully. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Grace. God's grace will give me, it will help me escape the sudden desolation of the wicked that is coming. Hey, folks, listen to me. That's the rapture, man.
That's right.
Amen.
Hey, I said, that's the rapture.
Amen.
I don't have to. I'm not going through the tribulation.
Amen.
Hey, man, I'm not going through the tribulation. God's grace is the reason I'm going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds.
Amen.
God's grace. The sudden desolation, the misery and despair. That's what that word means. The judgment of God, the wrath of God falling upon this whole world. No, not me. I'm going to be gone by the grace of God.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Boy, isn't that a blessing? Verse 30. Jump over to verse 27. Excuse me, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now I'm just going to sum up these three verses in saying this. God's wisdom will give me grace to be able to help others in need.
Yes, amen.
Wisdom, grace to help others. I'm going to liken this right here to missions giving, faith promised missions offering, okay? These missionaries have needs, okay? They have needs, and they depend upon God's people like us to give to help them in need. And the Bible says, I don't have to withhold good from them to whom it is due. They're God called, they're God sent, and they're due. It's God's plan that churches support missionaries. It's all over the Bible. So I have the grace, even though I don't see the money in my wallet. I'm going back to the other point about giving increase to God. But I have the grace because of the wisdom of God, trusting in God. I have the grace. I can help others in need even though I don't see how it's going to work. Even though I don't see how I'm going to have enough left over. God's grace is always sufficient to give me that strength to give to them in need, and He provides for my needs through His grace.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
I don't have to worry about myself. In other words, God's grace will take care of me. I give to God's people. I give to God's missionaries according to God's plan. And it's in God's hands and His grace to take care of me and provide for my needs. I'm telling you, folks, this works. But you told me you trusted God now.
Amen.
And if you really trust God with all your heart, it will always include this part of your heart.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
If you don't trust God with this part of your heart, you don't trust God with all your heart.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay. I'll throw that out. Okay. Verse 30. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. God's grace even enough to avoid strife. Okay. Verse 31. Envy thou not the... This is good. This is just... I'm just going through these. I've got to hurry and finish. But this is... God's grace is what gives me the ability and the strength to go through this life every step of the way. I mean, there's always people trying to strive. And look, verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. See, God even gives me grace to ignore the oppressive in this world, and the froward in this life. I don't have to envy them. Listen, I don't have to try to keep up with the Joneses.
Yes.
I don't have to envy those who have more than I do. I have the grace of God to help me just understand that his secret, listen, verse 32, his secret is with me. What does that mean, preacher? Well, first of all, his Holy Spirit, his wisdom, hey, and don't miss his grace.
Amen.
The world has no idea what the grace of God is, folks. So, listen to me. It's a secret to them. It's completely unknown to them. What does it mean to trust God? I was sitting over here earlier watching y'all sing. I don't remember which song it was. But you know, I'm sitting over here watching a church sing something like Victory in Jesus, and I'm just looking at your faces singing, and I'm thinking, you know, these people aren't out here fighting machine guns and terrorists and things. They're in here humbly praising God on a Wednesday night in a church service.
Hallelujah.
And I can't make you understand this, maybe, but I'm trying to, but words seem to fail me right now. But as I looked at your faces and your countenance and your lips saying you're singing Victory in Jesus, I understood that you have a secret in your heart that the world knows nothing about.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah. It's true. Amen.
It's a secret, something in here that God puts in us when we get saved that makes us want to come to church, that makes us want to sing songs, that makes us get out on our hands and our knees and pray and weep and give to people that don't deserve it necessarily. And God just keeps pouring out his grace and pouring out his grace and pouring out his grace. He gives us that secret to the righteous. There's something special there in God's people that the world knows nothing about.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's a blessing to me.
Amen.
It's a blessing to me. More grace. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord's in the house of the wicked, not the grace. I said the curse of the Lord's in the house, not the grace.
Yeah.
But he blesses the habitation of the just.
Amen.
He scorneth the scorners. Not grace, he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly.
Amen.
The wise shall inherit glory, but shame, not grace, shame shall be the promotion of fools.
Amen.
Folks, all of that comes if I will not let wisdom depart from mine eyes.
Yeah.
The grace of God to dwell righteously. This is, he blesses the habitation of the just. I have the grace of God to walk lowly in humility. And I have the grace of God to inherit glory. Boy, listen to me. One day I'm going to walk into heaven, and my ticket's already punched.
Amen.
Amen.
The blood of Christ has already been applied to my heart.
Amen.
My name is already written down. Amen. And I'm going to inherit glory.
Yes.
He's already in my heart, but I'm going to be there face to face one day.
Amen.
Why? Because of the grace of God.
Yes.
The shame is all the fools get.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
Disgrace. That's what that means. Disgrace. See, no one would honestly refuse the benefits of God. I mean, there are millions of people out there who would love to have the blessings that I'm talking about.
Amen.
And they talk about the blessings all the time. Bless you, bless this, bless that, bless everything, bless they, bless, 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 bless. They talk about it all the time. But here's what I'm saying to you, the blessings of God only come through the wisdom of God.
That's right.
The Word of God.
Right. Yes.
And I've got to trust God. Because He wants me to walk by faith.
Yes, absolutely.
And depend completely upon Him. And when I depend upon Him, He not only blesses me, but He pours out grace, heaped upon grace, for every mile of the journey. I'm telling you, there's a blessing in every word of this book. This is a powerful book.
Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, this is a blessing to me. Evil is unhealthy. Every increase belongs to God.
Amen.
Even chastening is good. Oh, if we really got a hold of these things, we'd be much happier people, because enduring happiness comes from wisdom. Establishing of the world itself came through the same wisdom, and extra grace is provided for every step of the way. Now, the question is this: do you trust God?
Yes, amen.
If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, this is what you have to look forward to. If not, something else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, thank You for the promises. Lord, I really feel like I did such an inadequate job tonight for such an amazing chapter. But Lord, I pray that somewhere, somehow, Lord, the seed fell on fertile ground. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would bless Your people. I want them, Lord God, to see these blessings. I want them, Father, to see the grace that You have ready to pour out upon them, extra grace for every mile of the way. Lord, I want Your people to understand that they can trust You. I know You want them to. Lord, please help us tonight. Bless Your people. Bless the Bible. Bless Your Word. Lord, what an amazing book we have. What an amazing, powerful, living book we have. God in heaven, please bury it deep in our hearts. Help us, Lord God, every day to write it in the tables of our hearts, this precious book and the power, the wisdom and the grace that it offers. Please bless the invitation, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray.